This is Mary McRae again for the podcast, The History of America in Poems. And this is our first really official class, and it's on children's poetry. And before we get into that, I want to back up for a minute and say the first episode of this class, which I hope you have already visited, is I read it from a script. And I was kind of unhappy with that, but there was so much information I wanted to get through that I couldn't really chat my way through it. And I tend to go off on tangents and I flit off. And I was worried that I wouldn't stick to the themes. There were so many themes, so many American themes that I wanted to cover before we embark on reading these poems that contain the themes. So I'm going to leave. I recorded it twice already as it is because it sounds so red. And the first time I recorded it, my dog jumped in my lap because she was so concerned about me that I was talking so animatedly into my phone. So that was kind of a handicap. And then I mispronounced some names. So I recorded it twice. I had a cold. It's full of vocal fry and other imperfections, but I'm going to let it exist as it is. And the remaining ones, thankfully, should be a little more casual and chatty. So as we go through, you can expect that. The next thing I want to talk about is why we're starting here with children's poetry in the first place. Because we could have started as far back as we could go chronologically in American, in American history, which would have been the petroglyphs, although that's controversial whether people think that's actually writing or not, but we're going to start there with the petroglyphs anyway. And that would have been the chronologic first place to start. But as I talked with people about this class, as I was working on it and planning it, it seemed to be clear that we needed to start at a point where most of us really began with poetry, and that was when we were little kids. And this was also our own emotional beginnings with poetry. And maybe, we read it on our own, we read children's books on our own, or maybe our parents or grandparents or other family members or teachers read poems to us. Maybe we didn't encounter these books as children, and this is an opportunity for us to start fresh with that. But in any case, most of us started here with poetry. And so I wanted to start with our beginnings with poetry and cultivate some sense of the same openness we had when we were children, because we become naturally defensive and closed as we age and experience the harsh realities of life. And we learn to block things out and misrepresent things and spin things. And so I want to start in a place that's before all that spin began. I mean, honestly, children spin too, but not to the level that adults spin. And so I'm hoping starting with children's poetry will loosen us up a bit. And I hope that nobody skips this section, because I actually think it's probably the most important section we're going to talk about in American poetry, because I think some of our children's poetry is some of America's best poetry. So there's that. Another point I want to say is that I'm really not asking us to explore these children's poetry with too much nostalgia, because I don't believe that nostalgia is really helpful to us beyond maybe like a temporary coping mechanism. I do believe in preserving history, and I myself love visiting historical places. I love to go to see writers' homes. So I love the idea of preservation, but I also think we can't spend all our time there, because the future is inevitable, and inevitably we become adults. And also the alternative is very sad. So I'm not trying to fetishize childhood here or to make us childish, although I am probably one of the most childish people on the planet. So, what can I say about that? But part of going back is just to prepare us for what's coming ahead. And it is, of course, more serious. So, can we start from a playful place? And then we'll be able to understand what the seriousness, and it's going to come pretty fast because colonial life was pretty hard. It was pretty brutal. So, it's going to get serious real quick. But I want to bring some of the childhood poetry forward into that, like a lost toy, for example. I just want to say a lot of this material came from two essays, and they were both in the Cambridge Anthology of American Poetry. If you want to check out the bibliography for this class, you'll find that there, and you can check out these essays yourself. One was written by Angela Sorby, and it was an essay called Children's Poetry from 1600 to the 1920s. And I did find a longer version of this essay online. So, and I put that in the like further reading list section of the class webpage, so you can go check that out if you are curious about reading it. And the second essay was from Joseph T. Thomas Jr., and that took poetry from the 1920s into the contemporary time. And unfortunately, that one is not available online, so you'd have to go track down the Cambridge book to read that essay. But I took their lists and I added some of my own, and I curated poems down to the ones that had American themes and or American experiences represented in them. And I linked to as many poems as I could, and there's a lot. There's a lot of great stuff in this class to read. And I gathered it from a variety of poetry sites out there. Some popular ones are All Poetry, Poem Hunter, poets.org, which is a site run by the Academy of American Poets, the Poetry Foundation. I pulled poems from fan sites and blogs and just generous posters all over. But so you'll see links to many different sites. I tried to spread it out. And also, as we get into later, there's a whole section we're going to do on Dr. Seuss. A lot of those link to picture books. So they're not as easy to download or print out, but and they're longer. Like Dr. Seuss stories are a little bit longer than a typical poem. But you can also see it in its natural habitat with his illustrations that go along with it, which are pretty amazing. So that's that. Oh, most of the other poems you can print or just read online as you want. So I want to move now into like talking about the features of children's poetry. A good chunk of children's stories are created in verse, and that just means they have maybe a loose meter and some kind of rhyme scheme, but they're not always regular and consistent. They tend to be more elastic and playful than what poets think of or people who read poetry think of as formal poetry. And there's many reasons why the like Angela Sorby would talk about, and maybe Joseph Thomas Jr. talked about this too, but reading for kids or being read to in verse with a rhyme scheme and a regular meter, people feel like that this aids in, keeping the attention span of a little kid listening or reading along, and it maybe it aids in comprehension. But I think it just sounds more fun, and to be honest, it feels and sounds almost musical. Rhyme and meter sounds musical to children, and I remember coming across children's stories that didn't have rhyme and meter as a kid, and I didn't like them. I thought they sounded bland. I thought they sounded too adult for me. So I wanted I wanted rhyme and meter, and most children's poetry has a narrative story. It's, you know, not lyrical. It resolves with some kind of conclusion. And so it's structured very narratively. It's usually teaching a lesson or, you know, trying to describe a child's experiences. Angela Sorby said, and I think this is probably a very important point for this class, that the most popular and best-selling verse in America is still children's poetry, and it's purchased by the public and not academics or other poets. It's still the best-selling poetry. And so why? You know, can, is it just because, I mean, the parents are buying this. Children aren't necessarily buying these, so it's good to explore the situation. Children usually grow out of these kinds of books and rhyme and meter until they have children of their own, and then they repurchase the same books, and they look around to see what the new children's books are. But old titles are still read, and they're still selling very well, and it's just becoming a very expanding list of children's literature in America. So that kind of covers the features. We're going to start with early American literature, and like we talked about in the themes class, a lot of books were still being purchased from England because it took a while for the United States to develop its own canon of literature, and that included children's verses. And I just want to say I'm excluding young adult fiction, which we'll talk about later in the class, mostly for context. Things like The Wizard of Oz and Little House on the Prairie books, although Laura Ingalls Wilder did write some poetry, so we might look at that. Those books are a big part of the American consciousness, so we can't not talk about them, but we're not going to talk about them here. You'll notice on the class page, there's also a section on the periods, the historical periods that we're covering. And there's also another list of the American themes we're going to cover in this class. But I just want to talk about a few of them. One of them is what Christmas means. And I'm intentionally starting and ending with Christmas poems, not exactly the second and the second to last ones are Christmas poems. One of the first successful poems in America was a Christmas poem. And we're going to end with Dr. Seuss, and of course, and he wrote one of the most famous Christmas poems. And they both sort of tried to interpret what Christmas means. And that's a site of it's a site of conflict in American just consciousness. So that's a big one. Another theme is kindness, developing a moral sense in children. Another one is developing individualism, exceptionalism, self-confidence, which ties into the whole cult of the self that we talked about in the themes. There's an educational component to these poems. A lot of them are structured around the ABCs, sometimes very creatively. Technology is another big thing in a few poems, and just the idea of the evolution of the book in America and how that changed how children were consuming these poems. Finally, dealing with unpleasant emotions is always a big topic in children's literature, and subtopics of that are like the mythical escape from our troubles and disobedience. So challenge to authority, that's another big theme. So that pretty much covers any introduction that I want to make for children's poems, but I want to start us off with two poems here that were not traditionally known as children's poems, but they're poems about ourselves as childlike readers. So in other words, these poems were written for adults, but they deal with the needs of a child and the needs of a child in ourselves. So this might help, reading these two poems, I'm thinking, might help us transition backwards in our own time. And so So, yeah, these are the first two poems we're going to start with. The first one is by the poet Randall Jarl, and it's called Children Selecting Books in a Library. And it was published in 1941. And it talks about sites of conflict, challenges to authority, the parents, disobedience, escaping from the world into a fantastical world, questions about who am I. I'll just read a few lines from it. The first line is, "With beasts and gods, above the wall is bright." And I love this line because it's kind of scary. And children have a lot of fears, but they also are curious about their fears. And I saw this in myself as when I was a kid. I gravitated to scary haunted house books. And I was afraid of them, but I was also drawn to them. And I think this is a very important first line that children want to test the bounds of their own fears. And so some of these stories and poems that we read are a little bit scary. And so later on, it says, because their lives are the capricious infinite, that like parents, no one has yet escaped except by luck or magic. And since strength and wit are useless, be kind or stupid, wait some power's gratitude, the tide of things, read meanwhile. Hunt among the shelves as dogs do grasses. Beginning, once upon a time there was, in slow perambulation up and down the shelves, if we find Swan's way better than our own, and this is a reference to Proust that no kid is going to get, so this is already marks this as not a kid's poem. If we find Swan's way better than our own, it is because we live by trading another's sorrow for our own, another's impossibilities still unbelieved in for our own. And yet, I am myself still. So I was picking and choosing lines through that poem. But it's a great poem. Check it out. The next poem for our little introduction here is by Richard Wilbur, and it's called A Barred Owl from the year 2000. And it explains how children's literature helps us deal with fears. And maybe I wondered when I was reading it that maybe this is why parents read to their kids before bedtime, because bedtime and sleeping in the darkness is a little bit scary. I didn't have a nightlight in my room, and so I convinced my parents that they should keep the bathroom light on across from my bedroom all night. And I did this for years, and it drove my brothers crazy. They were 5 and 7 years older, and they hated it. They were ready for darkness because they were teenagers or almost teenagers. This was a site of conflict in my house. But I was afraid of the dark, but I was also curious about the dark. So there it is. Read those poems and we'll meet back and start looking at the children's poetry from the American 1600s.